chapter and have in fact seen that Arjuna's question that begins the chapter, there is always a conflict that is going on in the mind about our activity and inactivity. The activity is a common trait. We all like to be active. We want to work. We don't like to be sitting idle. In fact, most of us cannot sit idle without doing anything. Even if we decide to sit, just sit, not idle, just sit for meditation. We know what happens. Some certain things from inside trigger, I need to make that phone call. I need to just straighten out those things. I have not finished something that I need to finish. Meditation can be done later. There is a nice movie today, so let me go there. It is all these things stir up in the mind, and thus, although we are consciously, we have decided to sit, yet sitting becomes an impossibility. So, here we have this dilemma that we cannot really sit still. Working is a propensity in us, and yet we know and experience that work creates so many problems in life. We interact with people and then we find that it leads to frustrating experiences. We get related to people and then it seems that those things keep on piling bondages on us. We feel that work creates more and more suffering. If we are not going to have any work, and then there is no compulsion of doing work, just be free. That state is very alluring, and sometimes it gets wrongly associated with as the life of a recluse, that yes, let me give up everything, all activity, they create so many problems. At my workplace I see a lot of competition, and then it is my head simply sometimes starts whirling, and I do not find any solution what to do. Moreover, I put in lot of hard efforts and they are seen to come to naught. Ultimately, I feel why I was doing all this. So, better get rid of all work and sit free, quiet. And it is also a state you feel peace. We all like to be peaceful. Everybody looks for peace. Let me be in peace. That ultimate peace, calm, and such things, they also attract our minds, and we feel work and this peace, they do not go together. Working is always creating disturbances, and if I want, therefore, peace, let me shun all work. My work, for example, everybody has problems with their work. Somebody is a lawyer, so feels that, look, other works may be simpler, but the work as lawyer means you have to be always having these continuous thoughts going on in the mind. And you have to manipulate things present in a way that doesn't always make your conscience easy. You know something is not right, and yet you have to show it as right. This is all job of a lawyer. So it is sometimes, therefore, they say that the spelling is wrong. It should be not L-A-W, but L-I-E, you know, that liar. So you feel that, no, this is not the right work. Let me give it up and sit peacefully. Every worker has these problems. The teachers, they also say, what, you know, I have been teaching the students, they don't care to learn. They always are after, you know, some other things. And then I have to go on preparing the lessons and prepare the courses for them, then do the grading. All thankless job, doesn't give any reward. And so why should I do it? Afterwards, the parents come and complain, the students come and complain, parents come and complain, and I have to be at the receiving end all the time. After putting in all these efforts, why am I doing this? It is, so this is with all activities. The household work, generally considered a lot of a woman, that yes, I do all this household work and not get paid for it, but I am doing all this work. And people look down upon me that well, I don't earn anything. So, look at this. I have to do right from morning and night. Somebody was telling that a man's work is finished from morning to evening. A woman's work is never finished, 24 hours a day, and still doesn't get credit for that. So she sometimes feels, so why should I do all this? Let me just get away from all this. So that is an allurement, that yes, let that work be done, and I will be peaceful. Peace and work do not seem to go together in our mind. And peace is certainly a state of great glory. So, this Arjuna, like all of us, asked this question, that just let me be peaceful. Why you want to again put me into activity? Tell me what is great and what is good for me. One thing, that work or giving up work. And Lord has explained that it is not that easy to separate from work and not work. You have the tendency to work, and that will not just go away by refusing to work. It will become morbid, that's all. So therefore, you have to convert this work into yoga. And that is the real renunciation of work. You do not become a real recluse or mendicant by running away from the work. But the true challenge is to do the work. Do whatever work that has come to you with the spirit of yoga. That work then purifies you, and that brings peace to you. The cause of restlessness is not work, but the impurities and desires in mind that cause the restlessness, never the work. Work is never source of problems or restlessness, but it in fact is the source for purification. It is the only way that we can purify ourselves and get rid of all the dross in the mind, and then we will be in great peace. Bhagavad Gita, here in the fifth chapter, the speciality of fifth chapter is the use of psychology. The intricate way in which Lord treats Arjuna and through Arjuna all of us at that level, you know, our minds, they are inclined. We have inclination for spiritual life, And we somehow feel that giving up the work will make me eligible for that. But this has to be handled very carefully. The spiritual intent should not be removed. And yet, at the same time, the person has to be guided to do the work in the right spirit. As we had seen, that if somebody is driving in the wrong direction, the solution is not just give up driving or change the car. The solution is to drive in the right direction. So the problem is not by doing the actions, but doing them in the wrong way. So what needs to be done is to convert those actions into yoga. And Lord explained, as we saw, that this is real sannyasa, real renunciation. Real renunciation, as he said, that it is not the one this working is not separate from renunciation. He said, Sankhya Yoga Prithak Bala Pravadanti, in the fourth verse of the fifth chapter, that Sankhya means this idea of giving up through knowledge, and yoga, that is persevering with the path of karma yoga, actions performed in the spirit of yoga. Lord says that both of these are really same. Only the childish people think that they are different. They are really the same. Like childish people, children, you know, they do not understand. So, if you show them animal crackers, they say, well, they are different. They say, I want the rabbit, I want the lion, and they are particular about it, that my lion I want. But the grown-ups know that it is, they taste the same. When you put it in the mouth, a rabbit doesn't remain rabbit, lion doesn't remain lion. They were in fact neither lion nor rabbit. So a grown-up person knows that. So he says, similarly, a wise person sees that both are really not different. In fact, unless you work, this state of peace will not come in life. The challenge, friends, is to remove this fictitious separation between the spiritual life and the secular life, not by converting the spiritual life into secular life, but by converting the so-called life tied to secularity or tied to matter, should be now tied to spirit. The life that has been woven around the reality of these names and forms has to be woven around the reality of the spirit, the truth that we are all the same, one self. So this, when this is done, then the activity gets spiritualized. Otherwise, what happens? The religion becomes secular. And the goals of religion also, as we see often happening, especially in the organized religions, they get tied around the secular goals. The religion then gets caught into some forms that, yes, going to a church or a temple or some place on a given appointed day, then socialize there, talk to people. That is a secularization of religion. What we need to do is to make the secular things, they have to be spiritualized. That is what Lord is teaching here. That every activity that you do, do it with this changed attitude, the attitude of yoga. Fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is very important from this aspect, that it conclusively shows Arjuna and to all of us that the activity that we do is not only not an obstacle in spiritual life, but in fact it is a great help in spiritual life. It is not that without it is without activity we will not be able to do it. So activity is very important. The spiritual life cannot be practically led by almost all of us without properly changing the nature of the actions. So he said in the sixth verse that this sannyasa that you are talking about, giving up the activities, is not possible without going through the yoga. De sannyasastu mahabaho dukkham aptum ayogatah, but renunciation of action, O mighty armed one, is difficult to attain without performance of selfless action. And this selfless action is what is called yoga. Do the actions, but take out the poison from that. Then they will become useful in life. So, what happens then? Yoga yukto munir brahma nachirena adhigacchati. And when that is done, when you join yourself to this yoga, it becomes vehicle to take you to the destination. This is the vehicle that you will get in, and that will take you to the destination. Do you say like this? Say, if you want to say go to California, and there is, you are told, board the plane. Do you say, I don't want to board the plane, I want to go to California, I don't want to get into the plane? Well, this plane, if you go into the plane, that plane is going to take you to California. Otherwise, you will be sitting in Providence, just saying, California, California doesn't bring you California. You have to get into the plane. You don't say that, I don't want to get into the plane, I want to get into California. The plane is the vehicle that will take you to California. Exactly. In the same way, these works, they become the vehicle to take you to the destination. So, one should not have this attitude towards work, that they are obstacles and let me get rid of them. No, they are the great helpmates. When we do these works with all dedication, then we see that what we were looking for comes automatically. The seventh verse, that how it happens, the process is also told. Because we all want to know how this happens. You are telling me that by doing this work selflessly, I will become a true renunciate, and also I will attain the peace. What is the procedure? How it happens? Explain it to me. What is the mechanism? What work does to make me peaceful? Tell me the mechanism of how it acts. Because why this is discussed, when we see the mechanism, then we get conviction. The conviction comes, as you know, when it is told that if you that soak seeds in water, after a while they become big and then they sprout. How does it happen? when the mechanism is explained, then that thing is understood better, that yes, you know, that is that germination process gets started there, and then you see the sprout gradually coming out. When you explain the mechanism, then it becomes more understanding, more this thing comes into it. So now Lord is showing the mechanism, what work does to me. We can all experience this. The steps are very nicely explained here, and we can all experience these steps by getting into this. What does he say here? Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyah sarvabhutatma bhutatma kurvannapi nalipyate. He who is devoted to selfless action, yoga, and pure in mind, whose body and senses are under control, and whose self has become the self of all, is not touched even though he may be performing the work. See, when you are performing the work with this spirit of yoga, now what is happening? You are not seeking anything out of it for you, any material results. Your idea is that of working it as a matter of just duty in the spirit of dedication. So now you are automatically getting loosened. That loosening starts taking place, that knot that is tied to the body. I am this body. Now, when you are working for this body, then this knot gets more and more tightened. But when you start working selflessly for others, this knot becomes loosened, because then you see the connection, the reality that is in this person is also in that person. The reality is not different. So this makes your mind broad through activity. This process starts happening. So what the beautiful word here used, sarva bhutatma bhutatma, you start realizing this truth slowly, that the I here is the I in everyone, and that is freedom. The I tied up in the one body, that is the bondage, that is imprisonment. The I that has become free, the same I everywhere, that is the freedom. And that comes through this properly doing our works. It is this Vishuddhatma. This person becomes purified through work. When you work for this somebody else in a selfless spirit, then your these selfish desires, they take a back seat. Gradually you start eliminating them from life, and thus the purification process takes place. Then vijitatma, you start getting control over your mind and senses. So it is, the person becomes a controlled, whose body and senses are under control, vijitatma. A very beautiful word. A person mind is full of selfishness, there that mind and senses are not under conscious control of this person, and therefore doesn't really serve his purpose. The instruments that we are using serve our purpose if they are under our control. Otherwise, they don't serve our purpose. We need to know how to operate them, how to use them, how to control them, then only they serve our purpose. I have got a very fancy new generation intelligent phone. Now it has so many functions. All that you can do this and you can do that. Now I don't understand how to do it. So it doesn't really work that well for me. It is, in fact, it becomes many times an obstacle. That then a simple phone, you know, you click and talk and that is something that I can understand. But these smartphones just keep on showing me again and again what a fool I am. So, because I don't have much control, don't learn, then I have to say, hey, Arunim, how do you do this? Then he comes, Swami, this is so simple. It is, just do it like this. But again, I feel it is, I can't do it properly. So, it is, why? Not that it is fault of that instrument. The instrument is fine. I do not know how to control it. So, once I learn how to control it, then all the potentialities, all the capabilities of that instrument, they become available to me. So similarly, our body and mind, great instruments, all our sensory organs, motor organs, our intellect, great instruments. Do they, are they controlled by us or we are under their control? We have to think of this. If we are under their control, we can't use them. If they are under our control, then we can use them. So, by properly doing this yoga of action, these organs, sense organs, motor organs, they start coming under our control. And thus the life becomes then more and more smooth, you know. You can see that lot of our problems, the restlessness, frustration and such things come because our mind doesn't obey us. We want our mind to go in one direction, but it just disregards and goes in some other direction. Like you all have come here with the intention to study the class, understand it, and want that the mind should remain. The body is in the class, the mind should also remain in the class. But because we don't know how to put it under control, it slips away somewhere else. So, and we feel frustrated. Well, look. I have spent so much time in sitting in that Swami's class. What did I get out of it? Well, all the time I was thinking of the football, so mind was in football. The body was with with the Bhagavad Gita. The mind was with football, so what? And certainly you are not doing it consciously. Nobody. Otherwise, why would you come here? You come with this intention that you should be studying it, but the mind slips away, doesn't remain under the control. Think, you know, if it is under control, how much one can achieve? One can achieve then the miracles when it is under control. So, through the practice of Karma Yoga, the mind is brought under control. Jitendriya, same thing about the as our sensory and motor organs also. These organs also then come under our control. What a great pleasure, you know, the instrument under our control. So, then the life will be going in proper direction. So then you will see that you will be performing the actions. Now the big problem with the activity that we do is it sticks. It gets, we get stuck into the activity. We go to do it and then get stuck in it. It is and cannot take us out of that activity. To take out oneself from that activity mentally becomes very difficult. And therefore, we can neither do it right nor can come out of it. We are just stuck there. Like we see it in our this, that we are doing some work. Now, we get into the habit of doing it. Our that personality gets stuck into it. Like, I am a Swami here and I give the classes here and this is activity. I get used to that, I get stuck into that. And when the time comes to give it up, then I feel, now what am I going to do? It becomes, that activity starts tying me up. I get stuck into it like those horses. Earlier they used to, as a line of defense, they used to put a lot of water in the ground. The enemy horses won't see that all the water would be soaked by the ground. The ground would become all into a mire. On the surface it will look all green grass, and the horses will just the armies will get into that, and then they get stuck in that. The horses would not be able to come out. The more they try to come out, the more they start getting into it. So that is what happens with us, with our action. We go into it. Now extracting ourselves from that becomes very difficult. And we feel that, yes, it is my duty to take care of my children. Very good. The thought is so nice, feels so nice. Now children grow up. You know now that you are not needed in their life as such. But you cannot take yourself out, always thinking of them, whether they are doing well or not, why are they not writing me, and all that stuff, you know. That why my college-going daughter does not pick up my phone. This is a very practical complaint that I get from many parents. That, you see, I call and call, I don't, she doesn't pick up. So in fact, therefore, what I know at least one example that might have been followed by other parents also, that when they want to catch their son or daughter in the college, they call one of his friend, his or her friend, that you please call, he doesn't pick up my phone. Whenever he sees my name on the phone, then he doesn't pick it up. Because he knows that mom will go on telling the same thing, what did you eat today and what did you say, this is... Now the child, in the childhood it was all right, but now the son or daughter doesn't want to talk about it at all. But the mom has concerns. She cannot take herself out of it. She is stuck in it. She knows that it is a bondage, terrible bondage that she cannot take herself out from. And so because she cannot take herself out from it, she does the labeling then. Oh, it is motherly love. Then it sounds, this bondage then sounds very nice. This is how we keep on deceiving and cheating ourselves by putting labels. You know. Change the label. If something is poison, thus we feel that by taking the label poison out from there and putting the label nectar, it will change from inside. It doesn't happen by changing the label. In fact, we tend to drink it more because we now try to see it as nectar. We become aware of this, that this kind of working leads us into this kind of a terrible tangle. So, therefore that temptation comes to give up all the work. And why this temptation comes? Because inside you know that you are not able to give up the work. And therefore, you will not have the prick of conscience for living a detached life. See how it works. It's a very funny but very true thing in the psychology. That you want to get rid of this bondage, and you know that you have to make efforts for that, but something inside still wants to hang on to that bondage. Now what do you do then? You say that, well, only if I give up the work, then it is going to become free from bondage. But I am not able to give up the work. I am caught in this work, and therefore I am not able to give up the work, and thus I cannot become free, and so therefore I have to remain in this bondage. You make sure, when do we say that you have to renounce, I need to get away from work, when you know, inside you know for sure that you are not going to be able to do that. There is a humorous story I read that one man, he has been insulted by somebody and says that, I will now go and have a big fight with him. I will break his skull. Now that other fellow who has insulted is a big man, is not going to, this fellow is nobody in front of him, but he keeps on saying, just, and he makes sure that one of his friends has caught him firmly first, you know. So that he actually is not going to get into the fight, because getting into the fight means ruin, you see. This fellow will just give him couple of slaps and... So he makes sure that the other fellow has caught me well, and then says, leave me, I am going to just kill this fellow now. Well, he is not going to do that. Similarly, when you know that you are not actually going to give up the work has caught you so tightly, then you say, oh, let me get free from this work and then I will realize God. This work is creating bondage. Let me get free from this work. You know very certainly in your mind that you are not being able to do that. So, this is what happens to a person. That you can do this by actually doing the work properly. But you won't do that. You tell that I have to give up the work, then only it is possible. And you can quote from scriptures. You can quote, bring any quote from scriptures for anything. That the scriptures can be quoted to support anything that you want to support. So, you say that scriptures say that work and God realization do not go together. So, I have to give up the work. And because I am not able to give up the work, the society is like, then you can blame your parents, you can blame your society, and blame all these things, and thus feel that that you remove the prick of conscience from your mind, and thus feel satisfied with it, and go on doing the same old slogan. So Lord says that, know that if you do work in this manner, the work will not, you will not get caught in the work. You will do the work, but you will not get caught in it. And that is, otherwise you go to hunt and get hunted. But it is doing go to work and you get caught in work. But if you know this technique, then you will do the work and will not get any touch of it. He gives the example that it happens with all the actions that you do. If your mind is purified with this attitude, then you will be working, but you will keep yourself aloof. How? The 8th verse, naiva kinchit karomi iti yukto manet tatvavet pashyan shrinvan sprushan jigran gachan ashnan gachan svapan shvasan pralapan visrajan grunhan unmishan nimishan api indriyan indriyartheshu vartanta iti dharayan. I have read this 8th and 9th verse together. The translation is together. The man of selfless action who knows the truth thinks, I am not doing anything, even while seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, going, sleeping, breathing, speaking, excreting, grasping, and opening and closing of the eyelids, believing that the senses rest in the sense objects. You are not caught. You see that all these sense organs, they are the coming in contact with the object. You are not doing anything. Just as you see the when you are holding a spanner to remove a nut, then you see that it is the spanner that is coming in contact with the nut. You are not coming in contact with the nut. So, similarly, when you are seeing eyes coming in the object, in contact with the object of vision, you are not doing anything. You are aloof. When you are hearing something, you are not hearing. The ear and the sound, they are in contact with each other. So you should get bound by that. These instruments and organs, they are coming in contact with each other. You are free. Whatever actions we do, they should be done with this spirit. That is the spirit of yoga. That I am not doing anything. Naiva kinchit karomi iti. I am not doing anything. It is the sense organs and the sense objects, they are doing I am not doing anything. It is I am not going anywhere, even if these feet are walking, say, 5 miles, and my feet walked, the body has been taken from this place to that place. I do not move. I am immovable. I am not the body. I do not go or come. So, attitude towards the action gradually develops and keeps us free. Free from all desires and free from attachments. So, you keep on working like this. This is something that comes from practice. That it is the principle understood and needs to be put in practice, that yes, whenever I am seeing something, know that it is the eye that is coming in contact with the object of vision. And they too are in coming in contact. I don't have to worry about that. Something you hear, okay, ear is coming in contact with it. It is doing its job. I don't have to worry about it. You attach these instruments to those different things, you remain free. I am not doing anything. And so this is the attitude. I had told one story that Sri Ramakrishna used to tell a few times. But good to repeat it here at this, remember it again. that one sage was there, Vyasa. And he was standing near the bank of Jamuna. It was raining hard, and that river Jamuna, you know, it is where Lord Krishna's, those gopis and all, they used to play, all the cowherd ladies, and they used to live there. So he was standing on the bank of Jamuna, and the river was flooded. And these cowherd women, they came with all their that milk produce, the milk and the yogurt and all that. They used to sell it in a market beyond that river. They had to cross river. But today it is a flooded river. How could they cross? And if the otherwise all this would get perished, if not sold quickly, if it has to be, it is perishable goods. So they asked this sage, if thinking that he may be having some way, that do you know how can we cross this? Show us, tell us some trick. And this sage said, you know, I have been sitting here for quite some time. I am terribly hungry. First give me something to eat. You have lot of butter and yogurt and all that. So they, okay, take some. So he drank some milk, ate some yogurt and all that, and filled his belly nicely. And then, while belching, he said, okay, now, O river Jamuna, if I have not eaten anything, then part and let these cowherd women pass. These women were stunned. How will this happen? He should have said that if I have eaten a stomach full, then you, Mother Jamuna, you part and give us way. That might have worked. But how will this work? To their amazement, they saw that the river split in the middle and they could cross over. They could go walking on the other shore. Why this happened? Because this sage didn't have identification with the body. So, he was just putting things in the stomach as you put in a sack, you know. If you have a backpack and you are putting, say, bananas and bread into the backpack. And do you say that you are eating them? You don't say you are eating them. It is filled in that sack, that's all. So his idea of this body was just a sack. I am not that. So therefore, because of that, this statement was true, and the power of it made the river split. This story has this moral is to be taken. Don't come to argue with me. Is it possible actually? Can you do that? And all that, you know. So it is. the moral of the story is to learn that we are not this body. And when you have no connection with the body, it is just an instrument. You do not, just as the coat, it is, if you go in snow with your overcoat and all that, then you, after you get back to your home, you take out your coat and hang it. The coat has that snow and all that on it. You don't have it. And when you take off the coat, then you don't feel that now you are a different being. You had put on the coat and you took off the coat. Similarly, to do some work, you have taken hold of the eye and used it. You have used the body as you are using the coat. It is a coat. Body is a coat. So, it is when you put it on, Well, you make use of it. Don't get tied into it. Imagine what will happen in winter when you go out, like the temperatures that we had this morning. You have to put on many layers of clothing. And now suppose you are tied permanently into them. It will be very difficult life. So that is what has happened. You know, this body is also multi-layered. And we are tied into it, can't get free from it. So that is to learn that this body is also a coat. You can take it off, you know, and hang it. Just like you hang your coat, it is not very difficult. Just matter of a little practice. Just a little practice will enable you to take the body off and hang it. And you will not be harmed by that. Whenever you need again, you can put it on. That is the work, you see. So then you are not affected by the body, just as if the coat suppose gets a cut. You don't say that I am cut. The coat has got a scratch, okay, I will fix it. But you don't say, I got the scratch. So with the body too, we will develop that attitude, and that will bring immense freedom in life. This idea will continue further in the next few verses.